Can you say amen? You know, we say amen, amen, and amen. Amen means God, so be it. And the other side of that is God granted, or I agree with it. So amen, amen, amen. Would you turn with me to Job chapter 19? We're going to be looking at verses 25, and it's been a good morning, ain't it? Amen. We sense God's presence. Continue that. He will bless God's word also. We've been in a study of Job. If you're new with us here this morning, we've been in a study of Job for several weeks, and we've been looking at all the things that Job has gone through. We looked at all the suffering that Job went through, and we're very quickly coming up to a conclusion that it's more than the average person can bear. Amen. That you see what he's been through, the man who has been literally been broken, had it all together and been broken, and we see him facing all of these trials, and we've come up to the conclusion that we never want to pray the patience of Job, because if we did that, we would have to go through the things of Job, and a lot of us don't want to go through that. And I'll say this week has been a challenge for me. I preached last Sunday and began to have some itching going on with my eye, and by Monday morning, my eye was completely swollen shut. And I couldn't believe it. I'm telling Becky, I said, hey, something's going on here. Wake up Monday, my eye is completely swollen shut. I go to the doctor. He sends me to an eye specialist, and they come up with a conclusion that the Kohlsor virus settled in my eye. And did all the tests and all the things going on to make sure that, you know, it didn't touch the eye. So lots of tests, strong medicine, ointments, medicated drops, and a lot of prayer. I stand before you this morning. And it's kind of funny. I met with Kevin Griffith, which is another person on our district, on Thursday, and my eye was already better. Here's my point. If you'd have saw me Monday, I would have looked like Rocky Balboa. And then by Sunday, I'm standing before you and it's completely open. The point being, we don't know what people go through all week, do you? You've seen me on Sunday, I look fine, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm dealing with this going on, and now you come in again, and I'm fine. The point is, we don't know what everybody's going through in the course of the week, amen? And when we come in, we have to be sensitive to what God wants to do in our lives, what God wants to do through us to accomplish all the things that we go through. God may not... Let me say it this way. We don't always see what's going on in other people's life, but God does. God knows. He understands what your week has been, very much understands what your week has been, and we need to be sensitive. And here's my thought as I thrust into this last message into Job. At some point, we need to rise above what we're going through, or it'll take us down. Amen. We need to either rise above what we're going through, or it's going to take us down. We have to surrender to God and not our storms. Amen? We need to surrender to God and allow God to do what he needs to do and not surrender to the storms. And we can sometimes keep talking about the storms, but at some point we need to be having conversations about rising above the storms. And my question for you as we get started is, which one are you this morning? Are you going to talk about the storms, or are you going to be asking God to take you above that storm, take you above that circumstance? You know, I'm blessed this morning. We had a baby dedication. We had, you know, raising money for Alabaster, and we hear the great testimony of what God's doing, and we heard a beautiful song about how great God is, and our worship team led us to worship. And I don't know about you, you'd have to be pretty numb not to sense God doing something today because of the things that are going on. But I'm telling you, nothing will touch your life like letting God's word change you, amen? Letting God's word change your circumstances. So would you just bow your head for a moment? I just want to pray as we just now get a grip on what God wants to do this morning, that you would allow him to be able to do that. Father, we just come to you this morning asking you that your word would come alive in our hearts this morning. For those that are struggling, and maybe they do literally feel numb because of what's going on in their lives, God, I'm asking that you just would fall fresh on them, grab a hold of their circumstance, and allow them to surrender to you and not that storm, so that, Lord God, they could see the things that you want to do. And we're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise. We're going to thank you in advance for what you're doing. We will keep our eyes focused on you and then give you honor and glory and praise as a testimony once you bring us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapters and chapters and chapters. I had one person last week scared that I was going to take 27 verses of situation with Job's friends and go through them one by one by one. No. But we have chapters and chapters of seeing pain. We have chapters and chapters of seeing bad advice. We have chapters of God being silent for a long time. And God waiting to see what Job would do in these circumstances. The Lord allowed Satan to inflict Job. We see that all of these things were going on, and we know that God holds the key. Amen? God holds the key to what's going on in our lives. And even though Job didn't know it at the time, his faith lived it out because he was believing God to do these things. Satan could not do anything that God the Father didn't allow to take place. That'd be a good place to say amen. Because sometimes that's where God is taking us to teach us something. And you know, as we know that if Satan could, and this ain't a devil behind every tree kind of thing, but we know that if Satan could, he would take out the men and women of God so that they wouldn't have a testimony about the Lord and the goodness of God and that the gospel wouldn't be preached. And you can say amen there. Satan was only allowed to do so much. And we forget who's already won the battle. We've already forgot who is in charge. And we forget who has never given up his throne, even though it appears people want to get on that throne. He's never given it up. We live defeated lives and we fall short of what God has called us to do because we lose focus sometimes of the things going on. Our text this morning is Job 19, 25 to 27. I know my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Can you say amen to that this morning? That I know that my Redeemer lives. It's his profession of faith in a time of pain and suffering. He knows that his Redeemer lives. Satan could not destroy him, though at the time he didn't even know it was Satan doing it. He believed that whatever was happening in his life, including if God himself was doing it, he wasn't going to judge God. He wasn't going to bring judgment on God. He was going to serve God. Amen. He understands that there's a Redeemer coming and that the Redeemer is one day going to set foot on the earth. And though he didn't know his name at the time, we know his name. His name is Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Amen. He's the Nazarene. He is Jesus Christ who will come and do this. He knows that he's a living Redeemer and that it's not a dead Redeemer. He says he's a living Redeemer, not one that's dead, but one who was resurrected and coming back. And because his Redeemer lives, he knows that he will live and that he will be resurrected. He comforts himself with knowing that this ain't all there is. That should be a big amen. Aren't you glad that this isn't all there is? Those that live out their life singing, this is it. I've got to live this as full gusto because this is all there is. I am thankful that my Redeemer lives and this is not all there is. That the best is yet to come. When you know that, when you understand that and you let the Spirit of God just grab that onto your spirit, There are some things that you're going to do in your life, like Job, that is going to make a difference. And if you're taking notes, I have several things that I just want you to write down so this week you can relook at it and maybe grab a scripture and grab on to what God is trying to tell us. And number one is this: examine your life. He's telling us to examine our life. He's okay with the question coming to God: is there any sin in my life? And if there is, God, you take it. God, I don't know what's going on. But if there is sin in my life that you're not pleased with, I'm asking you to take it. Will you make sure that there is nothing blocking me from being able to hear your word, being able to live out your life? There are so many voices today battling for our attention. It's kind of like when you go into Walmart or one of these other stores and they have 10 TVs going on and they're all on different channels and you just hear this massive amount of noise and you can't understand any of it. That's what the world wants to bring us. So we have to be careful that we're listening to the voices, and it's not necessarily the loudest voice that always is the one that you should be listening to. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Did you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Let that sink in a minute. Let that really just kind of grab your heart. Psalm 66:18, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, my Lord would not have listened. You want God's attention? Open heart and repentance will get God's attention every time. An open heart that says, God, I don't know what you want to do, but I'm ready. I don't know how you want to do it, but I'm ready. Lord, if there's anything in my life that is stopping me from hearing your voice or stopping me from living the life that you want me to live, I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you, I want you to take it out of my life. If I have wrong motives, God, change it. If there's anything or anyone that I love more than you, change my heart. And then you'll watch God do some amazing things. As God brings these things to your mind, if you would quickly ask for forgiveness, if God bring these things to mind, quickly say, God, I give that to you. I know that's been a skeleton door, but I give that to you this morning. The second thing that we see from Job's life is accept God's sovereignty. Recognize when God is silent, he wants to get something across to you. Say amen to that. He wants to speak to you. We're to find out what he wants to do in that time. He does not have to respond. It's not like, okay, God, if I command you to talk, you must tell me everything I need. That's not how that works. And sometimes God wants the silent time so that he can get our attention. Job would not listen to his friends and his wife when their advice was to turn away his trust in the Lord. Job 2:10 says, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? God's in control and he can be trusted. The third thing we see is listen to what God is saying. Sometimes when God's not saying anything, he is talking. Although he appears to be quiet, sometimes he wants us to listen because he's already given us some directions in the Word of God. Sometimes he's telling, you know, I don't need to say this to you again. It's in my Word. You need to dig it out for yourself. You need to find this truth. You need to sharpen the sword a little bit and allow me to do some digging and some cutting to make the changes that are needed in your life. We have to be sensitive and to be listening, intentionally listening to his voice and wanting him to speak to us. We have to be intentional sometimes when he is quiet, allowing him to speak, allowing him to do that. Fourth thing that we see is silence can be intimate times with the Lord. Can you say amen? Anybody that spent had one of those moments with the Lord, it's an intimate time. where God gets a hold of your heart, that God shakes you up a little bit, that God brings a tear to your eye, God brings a laugh to you. If you could only see me sometimes here by myself. I've done lots of alabaster marches without the alabaster being here, because God is so good. And then those times that he's quiet, that we must trust him during them quiet times and making sure that we're hearing his voice. And it's not, listen to me, it's not always a time of neglect when God is quiet. Sometimes we feel like because God's quiet, we must have done something wrong. I think sometimes God's quiet because he needs us to shut up so he can hear, and we can hear what he has to say. Nobody said amen there, but it is a good thing. When we're comfortable, sometimes we can sit in the presence of somebody and not say a word. Can you say amen to that? I have a friend that I've known for 35 years. And sometimes we can sit in the living room, talk is an option. And we have a wonderful time. And our wives will come back and say, hey, what did you talk about? Nothing. Now, we said some things, but we didn't talk about anything that's going to be earth-shaking. And probably in their eyes, we just sat around, didn't do anything, but we had a good time. Because we're comfortable enough with each other. Hang on a minute. Gotten credit for that? Now, you ain't going to get credit for this one either. We have never felt like we had to say something just to say something. But God is so good. Sometimes we need to just sit in his presence and let him say what he needs to say. And when he's quiet, not look at it as he's trying to punish us, but just maybe trying to get our attention. And the fifth thing is this: keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. Just because God isn't talking doesn't mean we start stop praying. Amen? Just because God stopped talking doesn't mean that we stop praying. Maybe he's quiet because you didn't give him a chance. God was silent in all 38 of these chapters in between where we're at. But then he goes and he approaches Job. When he does speak to Job, he comes back and he says this: where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Hey, Job, you're trying to figure me out. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I did this and I did that? Because sometimes we forget that God is at a much higher level than we are. We try to bring him down. We need to elevate him. We try to pull him down to our way of thinking, but he says, my ways are higher than your ways. And when we do that, and we keep talking, and we keep praying, and we keep trying to understand that God is in control, and he can be trusted, and that God still answers prayer. An open heart and repentance, God will answer. What we learn in a storm reveals our heart. Your heart can be broken and open. Your heart can be broken and open, or your heart can be broken and bitter. And it will decide what God is able to do in our lives. For God to do something, it has to be broken and open. For him to cleanse, to heal, to speak, to change our heart. You want a deeper faith with God? Your faith is going to get tested. Don't say amen. You can say, oh me, but that's a fact, Jack. It's going to happen. His friends and his wife accused him of being a hypocrite, condemned him as a wicked man, condemned him for having hidden secret sin in his life. But he knew. And he knew God knew. And that God would reveal the truth. The story in Daniel 3 where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they're sitting there, three Hebrews who were told that they have one choice. They have a choice that when the music's playing, that they could bow down to the king and to worship the idols that the king made, or they can die. That was their choice. In Daniel 3:16, here's their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. I sense a little bit of sarcasm there. And he will deliver us from our majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. That is living like your Redeemer lives, amen? That is living that life, not only talking it, it's living it. And because his Redeemer lives, so will he, no matter what. You will learn lessons in a storm because you're going to either pass that lesson or you're going to retake the test sometimes. You don't like that either, but it's true. If there's a lesson that you need to learn, you'll do it several times until you learn the lesson. And it's not out of God punishing us. It's because God loves us. While Job's friends were confessing their faults and confessing his faults, Job was professing his faith. They were all trying to find ways of how he was guilty and how he sinned against God and how he must have not maintained his faith and wanted him to stoop to where, you know, they going down to their level. Curse God and die. He responds, why do you continue to attack me? I have not harmed any of you in any way. If I've sinned against God, isn't that matter between me and God? We don't know what people were going through all week. Nowhere do I see in the Bible that says, judge them all. You got all the answers. We see how much in the news that there's people that don't have all the facts, but yet they got their opinion and they're on there. It's amazing how somebody can be doing such and such and have an opinion about the things of God or what's morally right. We'll learn the lesson if we're professing our faith. We aren't to be judging. And as I close, restoration begins when we look to the Lord and not the storm. Amen? When we're a believer looking for Jesus to be there in our storm. Because if he takes us through it, he wants to be there with us. Amen? He will help us there. The example in Daniel, through three in, Jesus was in there with them. And wouldn't allow them to go through that without him. Restoration begins when we surrender to the Lord and not to the storms. Time does heal, provided that we take that time spent healing, not complaining, and not allowing our heart to be bitter. Job even prayed for the very same people that were coming against him, wanted them to know the God that he knows. Final words to his friends in 27:10, he says, I will teach you about the power of God. The ways of the Almighty, I will not conceal. You're coming after me, and I'm not happy about it, but I want you to know my God. 21:13, Job is lamenting, and he says, they spent their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace, yet they say to God, leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. Who is this Almighty that we should serve? Paraphrased, you may be looking and thinking that some of these people are being blessed for not serving God, but it's temporary. Those that are mocking God, it's temporary. And that one day, your Redeemer is going to make it right. Making sure your heart's right. In the end, Job won. In the end, believers win. Let me end this time together this morning with one illustration by George Truett, a well-known pastor invited to a dinner of a well-known and wealthy Texan from his church. And after the meal, the host started walking them around the house, and this big house on the hill. And as he went out to the one side, massive windows, he says, as far as you can see, I own that. 25 years ago, I had nothing, but now look at this is all that I have, the plant and walks to the other side of the house and looks out into a field and there's cattle as far as you can see. He says, that's all mine. Walks this guy and around in a big circle and just going from the north, the east, and the west, showing off all the things that he knows. And at the end, after he walked around the whole house, pointed in four different directions, thinking that this pastor would just start praising him for all that he had and all that he did, the pastor makes a comment and he says, how much do you own up there? How much do you own up there? And that's what matters. We need to look at Job. Granted, we don't want all the things that happened to him, but we can learn some mighty powerful lessons, some lessons that maybe we don't have to do 2-3 times. That man hung his head and confessed, I never thought of that. And like I said, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I want you to think about this. My Redeemer lives. This is not all there is. And I don't want to spend all my time putting up treasures into heaven with regret, with the what ifs, or maybe I could have done more. I don't want to build such a kingdom here on earth that if the Lord would decide to take something away from us, that he would have to pry my hands off of it. Does he live in your life? And are you willing to die to yourself and allow the Redeemer to live in your life? See, the loud voices that are always in your head are going to tell you that you can do this on your own. You know, you need to stand on your own 2 feet. And yeah, some of it I agree with. But the part that you don't read or don't see in the news is you can't spiritually take yourself to heaven. You can't spiritually fix your spiritually broke heart without God. Amen? Would you just bow your head with me this morning? Father, I'm asking you, Lord God, to do something amazing. I'm asking you, God, to do something extraordinary. I'm asking you, Lord God, to move upon people's hearts. Lord God, we can't have a message about my Redeemer lives and not have an opportunity for someone to express wanting a relationship with you. In each one of these seats, Lord God, represent people you love. I'm asking this morning, Lord God, that you would speak to hearts. Maybe hearts that have walked away, maybe hearts that have been unsure, maybe hearts that just have now, maybe for the first time, really, the Holy Spirit is really just grabbing a hold of their hearts. Whatever that circumstance is, Lord God, I'm asking that you would minister today. There's anyone here this morning that said, I've never made a decision for Christ, but Lord, you're tugging on my heart. Today, I would like to do that. I don't know what all that means, but today I want to start. If that's you this morning, I'd just like you to just raise your hand, and I would like to have a word of prayer with you. People would want to pray with you that you would know him if there is just anyone here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you know the Lord, but you're not where you need to be. Would you this morning be willing to allow the Lord to search your heart and change the things that need to be changed? You can respond to him this morning by saying, I open my heart. Heart up to you, Lord. I open my heart. I give you the bitterness that maybe has been there and want you to do a new thing. Father, this morning I know you're speaking to hearts. I ask, Lord God, that you would continue to speak to hearts, that you would minister, Lord God. Do something extraordinary today. We sense your presence. We know your spirit is moving. And we ask, Lord God, that you would complete it by touching hearts and lives. Maybe you're encouraging someone this morning, helping them one more time to their feet. May they sense you doing that this morning too. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.